Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Assemblywoman Jill Tolles joins us for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. We are delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblywoman Jill Tolles, Republican of District 25. You serve on Ways and Means, Commerce and Labor, and Education. Let's start out with your thoughts on education and what's happened to the kids over this past year and where you think everything is heading at this point in time.
Well, so it's, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show. Always enjoy seeing you and being here, and great venue, by the way. I love that we're here in the Bank Saloon in Carson City. Just across from the building, we're hoping to have that open soon so we can have more folks in there. But
any time for now, on that?
You know, where I'm hoping for and hearing closer to early, mid-April, but I know that we've rolled out vaccinations. Everyone who's been willing to get them and had it available to them has been through that process. We're testing weekly still. We are getting our temperatures checked, oftentimes multiple times a day, and taking safety precautions. So we would, you know, we've been pushing within the Assembly Republican Caucus to get this open as quickly as possible. Would have liked to have seen all those measures in terms of vaccination rollouts happen even sooner so that we could have had this process even sooner. But we're continuing to hope to get those doors opened as much as possible, as soon as possible. But of course, that's up to leadership. So,
all right, so back to education and the kids.
So, you know, this has been a devastating year for so many kids, as seen by the increasing rates of anxiety, depression, and even just the tragic news about suicides. And so it's very, very concerning the impact that this has had, these shutdowns on kids. And it was interesting, too, because in Washoe County, our board chose to have K through 5 open and then have a hybrid model by which kids were able to go in junior high and high school on a varied schedule. And so we were shut down for a few months initially, but then really I commend the board for working to keep it safely open. But then we come to the legislature, and I work with my Clark County colleagues, who some of them just didn't even realize that basically the rest of the state had found ways to open in some way or another, and Clark County had been closed this entire time. And so we are really seeing the impacts of that, and I think we're going to see the impacts of that for years to come in regards to that learning loss. And so we first priority is just obviously getting everybody open and back in, getting them the supports they need, but then really making sure we restore those losses as much as possible, and working with the education department and of course the school boards across the state to find ways to really fill those gaps. And so, you know, those are conversations that are ongoing. And then, of course, in the legislative body, we look at policy not just for the immediate response to where we are right now, but where we're going to be, in the long-term future.
Okay, so right now we're seeing a whole bunch of money coming towards the state from this American Recovery Act.
Yeah.
Does this cover all the holes in the budget that everybody was concerned about, and perhaps even more?
And we're really waiting for the guidance from the federal government for what are the restrictions around those funds and exactly how can we utilize those funds. I would say, first and foremost, a general guiding principle is we should not use those funds to expand new programs, because as soon as that money runs out, we're going to find ourselves at the edge of a cliff. And that would not be the fiscally responsible thing to do. So I think it's going to be a matter of prioritizing where we had to make cuts, what directly ties to COVID and the impacts. We know COVID has had an impact, to your point, on education, and how do we regain those losses as quickly as possible. You know, I do believe our children are resilient, and I do believe that if we are smart about how we invest and target that that funding, we can get them back up quickly and support our teachers in that process. But we also have an economy that's struggling, and we need to make sure that we continue to bolster our small businesses that have really suffered through this. Those individuals who've been unemployed, who maybe they come back and the industry's changed and those jobs aren't there, how do we retrain them again and upskill them? I'm always going to be a big champion of not just K-12 education, but adult education, because I believe it's the key to making sure that we upskill and reskill individuals into new emerging industries as we diversify our economy. But back to your question about how do we use these federal funds, I think that we need to prioritize things like replenishing our rainy day fund, taking care of the unemployment insurance issues and DEETR. We took some loans out when we used up our unemployment funds. How do we recoup that? And then how do we make sure that we recover that education loss and our economy.
You bring up DEETR. It seemed like DEETR just wasn't applying to the state for enough money to bring their systems up to the standard that they should be. Yeah. We are going to see other things, whether it's a recession or forbid, but it's probably going to happen, some of the COVID type thing in the future. Mm-hmm. It seems like a half measure is not the smartest way to go, especially if there's funding available, that we should upgrade the system to where it needs to be.
Yeah, so that's exactly the right kind of infrastructure question to ask, is this federal funding is meant to be a recovery fund from the impacts of COVID. And I would say that, in Dieter's defense, before COVID, we had the lowest unemployment rates historically,
sure,
right, nationally and in our state. And so there wasn't this strong push as you're looking to prioritize funding to see that as an emergent need. But then, of course, we came across a pandemic that nobody expected would impact us to the level that it did. And it revealed that we have some major infrastructure issues with the DEETR system. And so that would be the right question to ask is, again, how do you utilize that funding in a way that doesn't expand government programs where we're obligated to keep certain levels of staff in the future and spending in the future? How do we use that for very targeted fixes that this pandemic revealed our weaknesses in the system?
You know, one of the things that I find very interesting is in the conversation about diversification, which is a great thing, and obviously in Northern Nevada, to an extent, it has worked very well.
Yes.
But when you look at 150,000 plus hotel rooms in Las Vegas,
right,
what generation is going to see diversification that is able to, hold harmless Nevada, mm-hmm, for any kind of recession or problem like a coronavirus? That industry is going to get hit no matter what.
Right, right. Well, I've always been a big proponent of that diversification that we have seen provided some resiliency in Northern Nevada that we did not get to realize, especially in Southern Nevada or across the state. is proof in the pudding that diversification is important across our entire state. But I would also say that that diversification should always come around supporting that existing hospitality that we're known for in Southern Nevada, and I believe is going to rebound. I'm very hopeful. I mean,
Room rates for you know, this coming March Madness. I mean, they're through the roof.
And the post-COVID, the post-COVID party. Let's hope we get to a post-COVID, or at least closer back to normal. Right, is going to be quite a celebration, and who better to put that on and host it than Nevada, right? And so I think that we are going to, I hope, see a return to convention business. We are going to see a return to the hospitality industry. We are going to hope, you know, see the day where the Raider Stadium is going to be filled to the hilt. You know, that is the hope that we are driving towards. So it's a both and. We need to continue to support our hospitality industry and tourism, but we also have to learn the lesson, not just from this pandemic, but like you said, from the last recession, that diversification works. Diversification is critical. It's tied with our education system and making sure we're training up our students to enter that diversified workforce, and then upskill and reskill the adults who have been displaced by automation or by this downturn. And so we just have to continue to respond to immediate needs, but also have a long-term vision for this state.
And I think one of the things that is kind of an untold story at this point is how much robotics within the gaming industry has already taken over, and that some of those jobs are not going to come back because all of the casinos have figured out the efficiencies because of COVID that they should have made over the next 10 years, but now they've been rushed to do that because that's the way they've survived.
Right, and that's nothing new. This conversation about how certain jobs are going to be replaced by automation is not anything new here in Nevada or across the nation, but what we're finding is that it doesn't necessarily have to displace workers. It just, we have to be smart about making sure that we're finding ways to plug those employees and that workforce into new positions. And the one underlying thing from my perspective is that from a communication education perspective is that we know that what makes that employee valuable is those soft skills, those communication skills, those problem solving skills, decision making, people management skills, which is why it's so important to make sure that we're really preparing our students for entering a workforce that can be nimble and stay valuable even when we make some shifts because of automation.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be back with Jill Tolles after this timeout.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Get in on the action at the Tamarack Casino in March. Win your share of the $75,000 Mad Money giveaways now through March 31st. Plus 5x points every Friday.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Jill Tolles. Mental health. I mean, I've been doing this kind of work for 40 years. And mental health was one of the first issues that we dealt with on the weekend shows back then. It's still a big issue now. What do you want to bring to the table on this?
Well, so earlier we talked about the cuts that we had to make in the special session, which were extremely difficult to make, and how do we prioritize funding, both from any federal relief funding that we receive, as well as we're going to get our economic forecast in May 1st, and we're hoping to see a better rebound than what was projected. So how do you use that money wisely? We talked about some of the other areas, but one of the things is to restore some cuts to existing programs that really help those in need, both from birth to death, right? The entire spectrum. And mental health is a huge part of that. We had a budget hearing yesterday where we talked about the utilization of mental health. We saw a decrease in people getting the treatment or the counseling right. that they needed, because they were fearful to go to their counseling appointments in person. Maybe they didn't have access or weren't comfortable to switching over to telehealth models. Or for some of our individuals, adults with developmental disabilities and our early intervention services for our young kids with autism and with other developmental disabilities, you needed to be in person, and that wasn't available for a period of time. So we saw an underutilization, but it's important to note that's not going to stay underutilized. I fully anticipate that we're going to see all of those people come back. We need to see them come back into regular treatment. But we're also have picked up through this pandemic an increased population that responded to unemployment and to being in isolation and being home and developing anxiety and depression symptoms, an increase in substance use disorders, and then an increase in child neglect and abuse cases. When we don't have teachers with eyes on kids in school every day, that's our first line of defense to right. see those red flags, to report, to address that from the law enforcement perspective as well as the treatment perspective, to wrap around those kids in need. And so I think we need to really make sure that we already have been underfunded in many ways or underutilized with our programs. We're going to need to recoup that, and I would argue that we're going to need to take a look at how some of those COVID relief funds can address some of those mental health needs that were already existing and expanded through this pandemic.
Let's talk about innovation zones. And I do want to point out that Tolls Development Company, that's run by your husband, is one of the sponsors of our program, so people should not think that we don't have any connection there.
Yeah.
But it's been very interesting to watch this. Obviously, a huge financial push from Blockchains LLC to be able to make the innovation zone that they want to have in Story County, where they would take the 67,000 acres of land that they own and carve that out of Story County and make it its own county. Your right. thoughts on this?
So, first of all, I love innovation, and we talked about economic diversification just a few moments ago and how we need to pioneer new frontiers, and tech is a great way to do that. I'm co-founder with Assemblyman Steve Yeager of the Nevada Tech Caucus, and I think that Nevada can be a place where we can birth and support great new technologies, and I love me a dreamer, right? I appreciate that. I appreciate that we birthed out of the desert, a hospitality metropolitan right. destination for the world. So Nevada is great at pioneering things. But when I look at the innovation zone proposal, and of course, we haven't even had a first hearing on it yet, and I'm not even on the committee that's going to vet this out. But I think I look at it in three separate layers or interconnected layers, and that is from a development perspective, from a technology perspective, and from a governance perspective. And so there's going to be a need to ask a lot of really good, tough questions in regards to, on the development side, it's appropriate, we're in a saloon, I'm not the first to say it, Mark Twain was, right, that whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting, and I know that that's been brought up on your show just recently in regards to questions around water and questions about the feasibility of building a smart city metropolis in that zone. I'll tell you from a water perspective, we just had a hearing in Ways and Means last week with our state water manager and taking a look at how many cases are in adjudication. I've got a development in my district, Stonegate, that wants to build 5,000 houses. They've been in water adjudication for 6 years now and poured $4 million into getting everything vetted and just waiting for that final steps of the approval process so that they can develop more houses. And as we know, supply and demand, we're talking about affordability in housing. If we increase supply, that's one of the best ways to really deal with that. So what I found, and I believe if I got my numbers correct, we have 14 of those types of cases currently in the adjudication process that sometimes can take over a decade, and then we've got 20 more pending. So I think that from a development perspective, it's you don't have to have the plans fully laid out in order to make these kinds of decisions, but I do think that there's some big issues that they're going to have to address in that vetting process, just to make sure it's even feasible before we go down this road. The second category is technology, and again, I'm all for tech innovation. I love the idea of a regulatory sandbox. I appreciate the value of wanting to create a bubble to practice those things. And I think the questions to ask there is, do we need to make it regional, or should we be looking at how do we remove cumbersome regulations for tech innovation statewide, or by each technology as it comes along, or ways that we can address smart cities without this specific carve-out? So those are questions I think that should be asked. And then the third round is the governance prospect of, you know, setting a precedent for a new way of carving out a new governance structure within an existing county. And those are questions that I'm just really looking forward to seeing how it gets, they dive into it.
Okay, but do you have concerns about it?
Oh, I have concerns, absolutely. I wouldn't raise those questions if I didn't think that it's a burden for them to answer. And, you know, I absolutely would say, from development, technology, and governance, how do we make sure that if, you know, what's good for the geese is good for the gander? Are we making sure that this is the best approach, or are there other ways to continue to support this kind of tech innovation that applies to the entire state without a new governance model?
And the comment that's been said to me more often than any other is that if you can't get it done in Story County, where are you going to get it done?
Right.
I'll leave it there for the moment. We'll be right back with Joel Tolles after
all
this
right.
timeout.
Thank you.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Joel Tolles. In this era of very little bipartisanship, you have managed to accomplish a lot across the aisle. How have you done that?
You know, sweet of you to ask.
Several people brought that up, that you're a rare bird in that sense.
Well, first of all, I think I come to this whole process in a different way of looking at things. I work with judges, right? So I teach at the Judicial College, and I teach judges, and a lot of those discussions are around how do you sit back, look at all the evidence before you, and make the best judgment on the decision before you. And so I tend to come at lawmaking from that perspective, and I absolutely have my positions and my policies, and I come at things from a certain philosophy on the right side of things, you know, pro-business, limited government, you know, pro-constitutional rights, all those things that typify what make up a you know, the conservative philosophy. But at the end of the day, we're all Nevadans, and even though we are elected by those who vote for us, we represent everyone in our district, and collectively all 63 of us represent the entire 3 million in this state. And I appreciate the compliment, but I want to defer it to others, that there are good lawmakers in that building who really are there to be public servants. And they may not make the most noise and be the ones out in the headlines because they're not saying the most controversial things, but they're there dedicated to do the work. And I've been one, along with many others, who are there to find people who are there to make good laws and make good decisions and represent the people and be public servants and just do the work.
So you mean there's hope for democracy?
Yeah, I'm always going to be optimistic on that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Jill Tulls, always a pleasure. I'm sure we will see you before the end of session.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.